Well, welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. Today, we're diving into what Jesus called the greatest commandment. And spoiler alert, it's all about love. So grab your coffee, your Bible, and maybe a highlighter or three. The greatest commandment found in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, another translation that I'll use says, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In these verses, we see that Jesus has told the Pharisees that the greatest commandment is to love. Now, sometimes this trips me up a little bit because I don't see love when I look at the list of the Ten Commandments, not in a literal sense. In Exodus 20, verses 2 through 17, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And they are, "You shall love no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet." These commandments were given to the Israelites by God as a way for them to respond righteously to him in gratitude for their deliverance out of Egypt. They also served as a way of obedience that was required for them to remain in the promised land. Now, scholars have often divided the commandments into two sections. The first four dealing with our relationship with God as our Lord and Savior, and the final six dealing with our relationship with others. Now, I felt it was important to examine the commandments and to remind ourselves that Jesus did not come to do away with them. So let's look at some of the New Testament passages that share what the commandments are. Mark 12, verses 28 through 34 shares the same account as what we read in Matthew. In Luke 10:27, we see this, "And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" In Romans 13:9, "For the commandments, 'You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet,' and any other commandment are summed up in this word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" And lastly, Galatians 5:14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" This scripture adventure proves evident that the Old Testament commands are what Jesus was speaking of when he responded to the Pharisees. These are also the same commands that the disciples make reference to as they shared the gospel around the world. The commandments remain obligatory for New Testament believers. Love isn't a command in a literal sense, but without love, obeying the commands is impossible. Love is relational and requires action. It's one thing to obey the commandments, it's another to live by them. Okay, relational, not obligatory. In order to be loving above all, we must move into a place of being relational. What I mean by that is when we use the commandment as a check and balance system, we are in the act of obeying just to obey. When we focus on living out the commandments in everything we do, day in and day out, it becomes a part of us and it becomes relational, not something I'm out of obligation or because it's mandatory. Think about that as we move back into the Gospel of Matthew. In these verses, we saw that Jesus pointed out that love is the greatest command, and additionally that everything hangs on love. When we look at the doors in our home, we see that they are hanging by the hinges. Now, it's easy to understand what would happen if someone were to take the hinges off of the door, say in your bedroom, right? Imagine the hinges are love. That is what Jesus was saying in his response. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I don't want to move too quickly from this and assume we are all on the same page in terms of what is being implied with the usage of the word love in these verses. So let's put a bookmark in our Bibles and set them aside for a minute. How would you define love? In English, we define love based on feelings, affection, attraction, concern, etc. It has to do with how we feel about someone or something, and it is usually always used in a noun sense, with a person, a place, a thing, or a feeling. As scripture was translated to English, sometimes the original meaning got lost or muted. Now, I want to look at the Greek word Jesus used in these verses to help us gain a better understanding of his response. The original text did not use the word love. Instead, the Greek word agapo, I believe that's how you say it, was used. Now, don't get this confused with agape, which is the noun version of the Greek word. Agapo is in the verb tense and thus means it requires action. You are going to see why understanding this difference is crucial to gaining a deeper understanding of what Jesus was saying when he answered their question. But first, let's look at what does agapo mean. The best definition I came to in my research was one by Bill Mount, and he said to love, especially in the New Testament, was the active love of God for his son and his people. And the act of love his people are to have for God, each other, and even enemies. Did you get it? It's active. It requires something from us. When we consider this definition as it relates to the commandments, as well as Jesus's response to the question in Matthew, I believe it gives us a deeper understanding of what God and Jesus are asking of us. The commandments God gave to Moses require action. The greatest command Jesus gave us requires action, not passive action, but agapo. Now, here's some fun facts for you. The word love is mentioned in the King James Version 310 times, the English Standard Version 684 times, and the New Translation 759 times. It was first mentioned in the Bible when Abraham offered Isaac as a living sacrifice. That was an action. It is difficult to get a clear picture of how many times the word love is used in the Bible, simply because there are so many different words used in the Greek language to describe it. In English, we just use the word love and shift from noun to verb tense based on the context it is being used within. But in Jesus' day, that was not the case. In order to understand scripture, we have to understand the language and the context. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty with Paul. Those of you that know me know he's my guy. I love learning from Paul. This time I want to look at something he shared in Colossians. Now, I want to tell you I'm going to read from the Message translation, and it's going to be a little lengthy, and I know that it's not always the one to use for doctrinal soundness, but you can also reference it in your preferred translation as well. I just like the way this broke down the speech because I honestly feel this might be the way Paul would have delivered it. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection, live with Christ. Act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your new life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy, that's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your life. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your life's words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Whew! Paul was giving them practical instructions for a believer's life. And they needed this reminder because the city was being influenced by false teachings that were undermining the teachings and supremacy of Jesus. This message that Paul delivered was an antidote for the blasphemy Paul was speaking against. And today, Paul's teachings help us focus on the promise that our lives are in Christ. Knowing that Christ is in heaven, we also must set our minds on things above and not allow earthly thoughts and desires to shape our behavior, speech, and goals. Now, I know this was a lot of scripture and a brief history lesson, but I want us to be able to truly be loving above all else, regardless of the circumstances or the people. And sometimes that means we have to dive deeper into the word. Now, earlier we talked about Jesus' response to the Pharisees and how this section of scripture is often titled the greatest commandment. We've looked at the Ten Commandments and what God gave to Moses and the Israelites. Sharing that these are not just laws to fulfill, but are an agreement between a loving God and His people. Remember, relational, not obligatory. Let's shift a little, because I know some of you are going, but what if? Now, I know some of you listening to me are thinking about certain people and relationships in your life where you're saying, but Stacy, you don't understand how difficult it is to love above all else with fill in the blank, or when so-and-so does fill in the blank. You're right. I don't. But you know who does? Jesus. He knows what it looks like to be questioned, ridiculed, tormented, mocked, shamed, abused, and abandoned. He felt all of these things in the form of a human body. These things were inflicted upon him by people in his hometown, maybe even some of his family members or his closest friends. He knows. I need you to hear me. He knows. Thankfully, God left us scripture that we can apply to our own lives and circumstances still today. So when you are dealing with the difficulties, consider this. Let's put into practice what Paul left in Colossians 3, especially when dealing with difficult people. You can't do anything until you put on love, which you can do by demonstrating compassion, kindness, patience, forgiveness, and humility. Respond with grace and understanding instead of anger. Be mindful of your attitude. Don't be judgmental or negative. Be engaging and empathetic by practicing active listening and trying to understand where they are coming from. Set boundaries. You can show love while still establishing healthy boundaries that protect your well-being. And prayer. That's the most powerful tool we have, is to pray for one another. So I want to ask you to examine your own heart. Look into the secret places and ask God what you need to take off so that you can fully put on love. Remember, just like the door that is supported by the hinge, love is where every essential thing hangs. So my question to you today is this: are you serious about living this new resurrected life with Jesus? Then act like it. Love above all else. I'll see you on the next scripture adventure.